We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, talking today with Manhattan Mayor Wynn Butler and City Manager Ron Fear. City Commission meets at 7 o'clock here tonight. We'll get into the discussion here in just a moment. I just had a quick follow-up question that I wanted to ask here about the annexation discussion with the Blue Township area. Ron, I know you presented last week to Pott County on kind of where that's at here. I know the talks are resuming here after that was kind of put on hold last year due to the pandemic. But that is an interesting development there. How much would that help or going forward, the city being able to maybe drive down some of that debt you were talking about in the last segment?
Well, at this point, it's kind of hard to say, but one of the reasons we're doing this annexation study, the annexation study that we're conducting is a very detailed cost-benefit analysis. So it's a feasibility study of, you know, here's the pros and the cons and the not just the economic advantages or disadvantages that we may face, you know, if the city were to annex all or a portion of that area. We would have to do a services plan if it was a unilateral annexation by statute that requires us to look at how we would provide some of the same services we provide to our current citizens to this area. So that's a detailed cost analysis. And certainly it's pretty clear that, you know, just as an example, we would likely have to build another fire station in that area. And the staffing of that. So that's a pretty big expense as a result of that. There's also benefit, though, of the property taxes that would be gained and sales taxes. So it looks at all of those components and illustrates in a report format, you know, what is that benefit cost analysis, short term and long term. So there we did re-engage with the consultant. Was about probably 60% of the way done through their initial phase that's going to generate a draft physical impact report. And so they've restarted on that. Obviously, they've got some additional data now that due to this pause that we've had because of the pandemic. And I anticipate that report will be available sometime this summer, and then we'd be bringing that to the City Commission for them to review and provide some feedback on. And then that task finishes with some additional final reports and also some public engagement and feedback on that report. And then if there was, they've looked at about four different zones in that particular area. And so the report will have kind of some recommendations based on some of that zone analysis. And then moving forward, if the commission wanted to proceed, even if it was a phased annexation of different components, what that might look like. And then there's a statutory extension of services plan that would have to be developed for moving forward with that. And so that would be another phase that would take some considerable time, several months to develop.
Mayor Butler, do you have any input on that and kind of what you're hoping to see out of this report?
Yeah, I think the report, you know, will help nail down the money because, you know, my initial thoughts on that were pretty simple. I didn't want to see us annex anything unless the people there wanted us to annex it. So I'm not a big fan of unilateral. I also, you know, see a lot of noise there on social media, you know, that, oh, the city wants to annex this so we can make money. It's just sort of what you alluded to. Let's annex these guys and use them to pay off our debt. And I don't see that as a motivation at all, because I'm very skeptical that this will bring in any relief money-wise for the city. I think it's going to cost us money. And that's why this cost study is so important, because, you know, and it might be beneficial to the residents. And we've seen that in some areas, like the city has extended, you know, sewer and water service to the Pott County side and even up towards a couple places in Keats, because they've had well failures and septic tank disasters and stuff like that. So I see that as maybe the more driving force. It's going to improve the quality of some of that. But the idea that we're going to annex a whole bunch of this because this will allow us to fill our coffers with cash, that's just not the driving force at all. And you know, I would like to see two things happen. A, if we annex some or part of it or whatever, that everybody there agrees to it, or at least the majority, is something they desire as a benefit. And then secondly, that any additional cost the city bears would have to be picked up by the people being annexed in a special tax or something like that, because what benefit is it to the rest of the city of Manhattan to annex something and then say, oh, by the way, Brandon, we're going to have to raise your taxes $200 a year to cover the annexation. There's just no gain in that. And then the people being annexed, they're going to feel the same way. Well, I got annexed. What did I get for it? Nothing but higher taxes. That just doesn't tend to pan out unless the annexed people are getting improved fire service, which could happen. That would be one, and improved water, sewer, something of that nature. And that's why that service plan that Ron alluded to is so important, and the cost of it.
Hmm. All right. We'll look forward to
just add to that. So, you know, one of the things that it'll also point out is the investments we've already made there. Of course, the city has made millions of dollars in investments in wastewater, as has the district. In developing access to our regional wastewater treatment plant, and then extending the water service there to the rural water district was a huge improvement, because the infrastructure, the water infrastructure along, especially along the US 24 corridor, is a small spaghetti line. It's very underserviced, no fire flows, any of that on the existing system. So it's an area that drastically needs to be improved to improve services there. And I think people can just look at how the heritage area built out within the city and the density that it has when we brought all of the adequate and proper infrastructure out to service it.
Yeah. Well, that'll be an interesting one to watch. I'll be looking forward to that report coming out here this summer. You know, and obviously public engagement's a big part of that. And that's also one of the topics here on the general agenda tonight. And the Crossroads MHK first round of public engagement summary discussion will be discussed tonight. And, you know, the first time you guys have done a comprehensive study of this nature. And what are you going to be talking about here tonight with that?
Well, it is, Brandon, and that was certainly a good lead in there, and really is creating a new strategic plan for the city itself, which involves the services that we develop. And we've had really great participation initially. This is after our first round of engagement, even with the COVID restrictions that we've had, the team's done a great job, and the committees that have worked to provide feedback. But so the commission's going to hear kind of what they've heard from what the consultants have heard from the community, and they'll summarize that. And they'll speak to, you know, comments made about what's the vision for the community, what's our mission and motto for our city government, what are some of the values of the community, what are some of the community as well as the government organizational goals that they've heard, and then start to look at maybe, you know, what are the top 10 things that they've heard from a priority standpoint. And that's going to lead to further development of each of those areas, as well as some of the primary goals that are being developed as part of this plan, which is really looking at prioritization. So good engagement, and then they'll talk more about some of the next phases of engagement. I know in May, they're planning to have some in-person events, some drop-in events, different places around May 6th is one that the consultants will be downtown in different places, K-State, downtown, Weefall Pavilion. So they're taking the road show, and so that's going to look forward to those type, as well as some of the other engagements. May 10th, there's a virtual meeting taking place between noon and 1. So another round and more steps as we work to work through this. And then actually even next week, they'll be at the work session for the commission. There's some additional discussion. And so we'll have the Crossroads MHK item on several different work sessions or legislative sessions for feedback and review, and get responses from commissioners about what they think we're hearing.
All right. Mayor Butler, I know you're pretty happy to be having this study going on. What are you looking forward to learning more about tonight?
Yeah, the main thing I'm interested in the study, I like the consultant's framework, because as I said before, I'm a fan of the Deming management model and the concept of, you know, vision, mission, goals, and then action plans and tying it all together in a pyramid is a good way to look at it. That's hard to do to some extent. And I think that that's one of the problems. I've got some, you know, I'm a little bit skeptical of some of the things I've heard as feedback, because it's got to be tied to the budget. You know, it's got to be realistic to a certain extent, but of course the difference here is, like, you know, you can have a vision, which, you know, companies have always said that's 10 or more years out. You know, some even think 100 years out. That's a little bit hard for me to do. I can go with the 10 or 15, and that's considered an ideal state. So when you write that, you don't really worry about budget, as this is what we want. You know, then the mission is, you know, in my mind, it's why you get out of bed every day, you know, because it's the stuff you got to do on a daily basis, and they can't be opposed. And then you've got, you know, various goals, which are things you can get your hands around. Like, you know, people are going to talk quality of life. That's one of them. And I know one of the things I've heard, you know, people are interested in indoor pool. So, you know, quality of life, I'm sure somewhere in there it'll say we'd like to have an indoor pool, and the vision being 10 years out, that would mean maybe within 10 years. Now you need a scheme, you know, how are you going to bring about this indoor pool and do it within the budget? And so that's part of it. And I've seen some, you know, some people are going along some lines that may be outside the realm of what a city can accomplish, like curing, you know, global warming. You know, I've seen that kicked around, and it's like, I'm just not sure curing global warming should be part of, you know, a city strategic plan. Though I don't have a problem with maybe taking that concept and causing it to be okay when we build infrastructure buildings, we make certain we integrate any cost effective, and that's the key term, cost effective environmental improvements. Like, you know, LED bulbs, you know, like we've done that in all the city buildings. We try to, you know, follow that lead thing, make them green. But then certain things are just outside the realm of making sense. And an example of that is when the Discovery Center was built, it has all, in fact, it's got a gold, you know, metal label for being, you know, environmentally, you know, sound building. But the parking lot, originally we were going to have this parking lot where the water ran through it, and it was impermeable and all kinds of neat stuff. And it turned out the cost of that would have been 10 times what we paid for it. So certain environmental things, they're ideal state, maybe 10 years in the future, but they're out of the possibility of doing right now. Like, I was at the home show, you know, I like this solar idea. And I was looking at a guy there, had a presentation there on solar panels, and you can put them on your roof and they look pretty durable. But, you know, if my roof costs $20,000 now, if I replace it with that, it'll be $80,000. So it's just a little bit, you know, out of your reach. Now, maybe if a storm comes in and trashes my roof, I'll consider it. Because, you know, I'm going to have to pay $20,000 to put the asphalt back up there. But, you know, I could get the solar. And so I like ideas like that. So, you know, ideal state, you know, when I think myself, I wouldn't mind having solar panels on my roof. And I could do it. But maybe in a few years, the price will come down. You know, maybe Kansas will hit me with another hailstorm and wreck my roof. It's happened twice in the past 30 years, so I'm sure it'll happen again. So maybe that's my time then for trying to go solar.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. You know, and you bring up a good point about the indoor pool. I think the indoor pool discussion is maybe overtaken the Red Lobster discussion here in Manhattan. I think more people want that more than they want a Red Lobster. Just putting that
out
there.
You're probably right.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, come back. We'll recap our a little bit more here about what's coming up tonight on the agenda. Stay tuned. More in focus after this.